Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. We've been talking about a whole bunch of different things today. It's been a really super easy day to get in because a lot of people are busy out there right now getting ready for Christmas and whatnot. Merry Christmas, by the way, to everyone. We're going to continue talking about some of the things that we started. But people that I went through, all the people that are speaking at our upcoming seminar, if you're just tuning in, the seminar is January the 19th for members of the Organic Club of America. And one of the things that's going to be going on there is getting to meet, whether you do it by the webinar on your computer or you come in person to Allen, Texas, some of the people that you've heard me talk about for a long time. And one of those people is going to be Logan, my announcer and daughter. She'll be there and introducing me to start the festivities, and then you can get to meet her. Judy probably will be there for a little bit of the time, too, my wife. So hope you can join us. All the information is on the website on dirtdoctor.com, right on the left-hand side, the button there that talks about the Healthy Living Seminar. This hour is brought to you by Steel. Steel, the company that makes the most fabulous equipment of anybody in the world. Simple as that. The best equipment. Chainsaws, hand pruners, my favorite hand pruners. I've got some Steel hand pruners that I've probably been using 20 years, and they're still not dull. It's amazing. Yeah, they cost a little bit more, but man, are they good. And everything they do, whether you get the gasoline-powered equipment that they've had for a long time or the brand-new lithium-powered battery-operated stuff that's just over the top. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. And they'll be there at the seminar, and you'll get to see this stuff either, you know, on screen, on the computer, if you get, join us that way, or if you come in person, you'll get to play around with the equipment a little bit. Let's talk about soil testing. We got a call this past hour from Jim in Georgia and want to know why I don't talk about pH more than I do. And that's a good question. It leads right into something that I wanted to do anyway. And it's to talk about some two soil tests that one of the listeners sent. And I've already answered him about this, and hopefully he's listening again because we'll go into it in a little bit more detail. But this person, Dwight and Jan, by the way, sent a soil sample, two soil samples to Texas A&M, the AgriLife Extension, for tests. The test came back on these two garden areas, vegetable gardens, what we're dealing with here. The first one said the pH was 8.6 and that the nitrate level, 20 parts per million, phosphorus, 212 parts per million, potassium on down. And out to the side over here, it says fertilizer recommended 0.4 pounds of N, nitrogen, per 1,000 square feet, and then 0 pounds of phosphorus, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and sulfur. Okay? The second test was 8.8 pH, both, you know, high, but not that unusual for the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Well, this was in McKinney. Not really unusual. We have high pHs. And in this case, the parts per million of nitrate, phosphorus, potassium, blah, 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 was a little bit different numbers. Over to the right, again, the fertilizer recommended, instead of 0.4 pounds of N per 1,000 square feet, this sample it recommended 1.1 pound of N nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. And then, curiously enough, 0 pounds of potassium, phosphorus, calcium, magnesium, and sulfur. Now, here's where it gets really, really interesting. At the bottom of the little chart there, it has nitrogen and phosphorus in bold letters. And now beside nitrogen, it says on this first one, the one that was 8.6 pH, it says apply an additional 1 pound of N per 1,000 square feet every 4 to 6 weeks as needed to maintain vegetable growth. You know, different recommendation than it is up here at the, on the side, the 0.4. There may be a reason for that, but it confuses me a little bit. But here's the biggie, phosphorus. Phosphorus is a highly elevated, phosphorus is highly elevated. Avoid phosphorus-containing fertilizers and organics for the next 5 years. Retest annually. Wow. Organics. Avoid them for 5 years. Reckon what all that covers. Is mulch an organic? Organic fertilizer, I guess, is definitely an organic. How about rock minerals and sugars? Would that be organics? I would say yes. So they're recommending no organics and no fertilizers containing phosphorus. In other words, the fertilizer that you should use should be a 24-0-0. Okay, that's test one, the one that had 8.6 pH. The one that had 8.8 pH, it makes a comment only about nitrogen, doesn't make a comment about phosphorus at all. And the nitrogen, it says, apply an addition of 1 pound of N per 1,000 square feet every 4 to 6 weeks as needed to maintain vegetable growth. Well, this is kind of in the same, it's different places of the same vegetable garden. And in one of them, it says, don't use any fertilizers containing phosphorus and don't use any organics for 5 years. And in the other one, it totally avoids commenting on phosphorus. That's why I don't recommend. There you are for those of you that have a webcam running. That's why I don't recommend A&M soil testing. I don't recommend university soil testing anywhere, really. I recommend Texas Plant and Soil Lab down in Edinburg, Texas. And like I said, the guy that is the head guy, Frank Schultz, will be there with an explanation for you on why their soil testing is so different. It's carbon dioxide extraction. They make organic recommendations. There's a bunch of different things about what they do. They do water testing. They do stem tissue testing. That way you can see what's being pulled up into the plant. There was a report that came out this week. Not this week, this month, earlier this month, that Doug, my partner, told me it was in one of the industry magazines, not organic. It was one of the typical industry magazines that recommends still organic fertilizer, synthetic fertilizers and pest control products and everything. And the article was about the fact that after you get a soil test and you put out what the soil test recommended to you, it didn't show that a new soil test didn't show that much difference. And it was kind of leaning towards saying soil tests aren't very important. And I'm sure Frank will address that for you at the event. Anyway, if you have a soil test from somebody else like this one, we'll be glad to comment on it, but to give you any recommendations from that, it's pretty difficult. The only thing I can do is give you a shotgun recommendation. I've used good quality compost, used some kind of rock materials, ground up rock powders in the beds, used some kind of sugar, cornmeal, molasses, something like that, till those things into the soil, and then spray and drench with a Garrett juice type mixture, compost tea, vinegar, apple cider vinegar, molasses, fish, and seaweed. Very, very simple. If you get a test from Texas Plant and Soil Lab, they're going to give you more specific recommendations of how you fine-tune it so you can kick your production up to as high as possible. There will be, and we'll address this at the seminar, there'll be some situations where Texas Plant and Soil Lab will recommend more amendments, more fertilizers than we will, because we're going to be recommending these things that fire up the microbes so tremendously. We think we can get the same effect using much, much lower rates. And it's a great subject for debate and talking about at the event. Well, the birds just flew in the window, so I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and take your calls. Richard will be next up, but open lines for you at 866-444-3478. You can get our newsletter. It doesn't have anything to do with the seminar. It's free and weekly. Just send us an email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the form on the website, and you get it for free every week. Dogs. My dogs give me a laugh every day. I hope yours do too. I really like cats as well, but we don't have them because of allergies. My wife has. But in both cases, I have a recommendation for you. It's Munster Natural Pet Foods. There are high-quality ingredients in all these products. There are no toxic preservatives. The highest quality ingredients include prebiotics and L-carnitine and some things that I've been recommending a long time. They're quite rare. Some of the products contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster Natural Pet Foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact MunsterMilling.com and find out how to get the products into your area and make your dogs and cats happier and healthier.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy,
controls your allergy sensitivities and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. Richard in Dallas next up. Hey, Richard.
Hi. I had a couple of questions. First one, I had some nandinas shrubs. I had two varieties. One is, I guess, shorter. It grows, I don't know, like 3-5 foot the highest. Then the other grows maybe like 7 foot. So I separated. I put the shorter ones at the end. And I did this like within the last month. And then they're like in clumps, I don't know, like a foot across. And then I cut that in half, you know, put them in the ground. I'm kind of cheap, so I just pretty much used water. I didn't, you know, buy the Garrett juice and all that. All I had is like Miracle Grow, but I didn't put that on this time of year. And I'm just wondering, the good shrubs that grow taller, I was wanting to separate those, fill in that gap where I took the other ones out about a, you know, and then slice those shrubs in half. Like, say, they're all pretty much like a foot or so in diameter. I mean, is water pretty much good? I mean, like saying that the ones I already put in the ground, you know, we had that frost, and some turned, I guess, kind of like purplish, whatever, you know, darker than the rest. I guess
looks like they're stressed a little bit. Yeah. Now, you can transplant and just use water. That's fine. If you add some the Garrett juice mixture to it, it just functions as a root stimulator and helps a little bit more. And you can make your own. You can make your own out of old coffee grounds and vinegar in the house and some sugar, and you may not even have to buy anything. You'd have to buy fish.
Apple vinegar you mentioned?
Yeah, use apple cider vinegar and molasses and then coffee grounds as kind of the humic material, and that makes a version of Garrett juice that costs nothing, you know, that you can just make at home.
Yeah, like I say, it was just a few shrubs. I didn't want to go out and spend money on stuff that would just go bad.
No, just make your own at home. I recommend that to people across the board. It's just a lot of people don't like to make their own home brews, and they like to buy a commercial product. So either way, nandinas are pretty tough. They can transplant pretty easily. So just moving them, watering them in, don't let them get dry. They'll probably do fine for you.
Okay, another question I have some, I think it's a bulberry tree. They're, I guess, like a junk tree, and there's one growing next to the sidewalk. 2 years ago, the city came in and replaced some of the sidewalk, and the back hole kind of scraped the bark kind of lengthwise, and it's a medium-sized tree, I don't know, like 30 foot high or 40 foot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and some of that bark that it scraped, the top of the tree looks good, but it's, you know, the bark is starting to peel back, I don't know, maybe like a hand's width, a man's hand's width, you know, side to side and lengthwise, you know, like 3 foot or 2 foot, something. And I thought, gee, you know, it just keeps peeling back. And it's been a few years since that happened. I'm just wondering, is it eventually going to kill that tree? I just like the shade and the way that they curve the sidewalk around.
It didn't do it any good. You can treat the wound with what's called the tree trunk goop, and that's a mixture of compost and soft rock phosphate and natural diatomaceous earth. And you can substitute fireplace ashes for the soft rock phosphate, and you mix water with it, make a mud, the kind of a consistency, and slather it on the wound. And then look at my website, dirtdoctor.com, and look at under guides. It has the sick tree treatment, and it's a process. It's not a product. And use that process, you know, a little at a time, as you can afford and have time to do it, to the root system area of the tree. And if it can be saved, that's what will save it.
Okay. Hey, I had a couple other questions. I didn't mention the screener guy. If I get those in now. A few years ago, I had a pecan tree that died, and a friend told me, I guess it was like an old wives' tale, which it didn't work, but he said, dig around it like, you know, about a foot out from trunk, maybe a foot down, and just put some, you know, ash, you know, like fireplace ash or whatever, barbecue pit. And I did that. It didn't help, though. Was there anything to that? And I thought he was, you know, just, but I tried it, of course.
No, that's not a good plan, because fireplace ashes are a concentration of mineral salt. So you're putting something in the ground there around the tree that's really, you know, out of balance. The way to use fireplace ashes is to put it in the compost pile mixed with a lot of other leaves and spent plants and, you know, scraps from the kitchen and things like that. And then it buffers it back to where it's a very beneficial kind of thing. But using it by itself concentrated like that probably did some harm to the plants.
But that kind of ash from the barbecue pit I could use on that wound.
Well, I miss that. I don't even like barbecue. The briquettes normally have some stuff in them that's not very good unless you use the kind that are just made from wood that are not turned into
little. No, I just use regular, like, pecan wood. And
oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, one other
thing. But you still need to buffer it into the compost, not to use it full strength.
Okay, on that tree wound? With the
for the tree trunk goop, you just mix it with those other two things. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, now one other thing. I have a lot of, like, rats up in the attic. I put traps around the house. I've caught some, but I guess they multiply. I don't know. I have some neighborhood cats. I've noticed they, you know, I don't know if they're marking the territory when they go number two, different places. You know, of course they cover it up, but I could smell if I'm out in the yard working. Is that like marking to scare them away? I mean, like I say, I'm working on the road with traps and other stuff.
Well, traps and repellents and things like that. You might want to talk to a pest control operator if you've got a real serious problem and get some tips. They have products that will work, you know, in a shorter period of time, and you can get things cleaned up better and start over. Doing it yourself, we've got some suggestions on our website on dirtdoctor.com in the library. So check all that out, and hopefully that'll help you with all those things. Appreciate your call. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. We will. We've got all kinds of notes coming in here, and I'll try to catch up on as many things as I can as we go, and we'll work with as many people on the show as we can. The website, dirtdoctor.com, and I'll be back. Don't go away right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A National Rifle Association executive says the American people think it would be, quote, crazy not to put armed guards in every school, as the group has suggested in the wake of the Connecticut Elementary School massacre. Wayne LaPierre appeared on NBC TV this morning. Senator Joe Lieberman says it's, quote, more likely than not that the country will go over the fiscal cliff after the House rejected Speaker John Boehner's plan because it would raise rates on a number of people. Egypt's opposition calling for an investigation into allegations of vote fraud in the referendum on a deeply divisive Muslim-backed constitution. The Muslim Brotherhood, which backed the charter, says it passed yesterday with 64% of the vote. And doctors say former President George H.W. Bush needs to, quote, build up his energy before he can be released from a Houston hospital he was in for bronchitis. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-801-9691. 1-800-801-9691. That's 1-800-801-9691. 1-800-801-9691.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Atlanta Falcons have secured home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs with a 31-18 win at Detroit Saturday night. Falcons wide receiver Roddy White with 8 catches for 153 yards and 2 touchdowns says they earned their 13-2 record.
We want a home field advantage. This is one of our goals at the beginning of the year, to get home field so we can be at home and try to win a playoff game. And we set ourselves up for that. Now we just got to go out there in the playoffs and win.
Lions receiver Calvin Johnson had to settle for having a record-breaking night in Detroit's 11th loss of the season. Johnson broke Jerry Rice's NFL single-season yards receiving mark of 1,848 yards with 11 receptions for 225 yards, giving him 1,892 this season. Johnson says he doesn't remember much about the 26-yard catch that broke the single-season receiving yards record.
I was still focusing there. I was a little in my zone, you know, so I went over there. I don't think I said anything to my dad when I gave him the ball. You know, I just gave him a hug. You know, when I think back on it, it's a special moment.
Johnson is close to becoming the first receiver in NFL history to have a 2,000-yard season. This is SRN Sports. Michael Frisina kicked a 27-yard field goal with a minute 16 left to give Never 20 Boise State a 28-26 victory over Washington to win the Las Vegas Bowl for the third straight year. Frisina, who stands all of 5'5", says Coach Chris Peterson prepared him well.
I had a talk with Coach Pete earlier this week. He said he wanted to make sure that, you know, I was ready, I was prepared, because he's like, hey, I think this is going to come down to a couple of kicks. And, you know, sure enough, it did.
The Broncos finished 11-2. The Huskies wound up 7-6. Louisiana Lafayette won the New Orleans Bowl for the second straight year. Terrence Broadway threw for 316 yards and ran for another 108 as the Ragin' Cajuns outscored East Carolina 43-34. Louisiana Lafayette coach Mark Hudspeth.
Very proud, you know, to come back and be back-to-back bowl champions 2 years in a row. This gives us back-to-back 9-win seasons.
The Cajuns finish their season at 9-4. The Pirates end up 8-5. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we've got a visit from our friend Rick in Roy City. Hey, Rick.
Hey, man. Well, you know, now I'm going to live up to my name, Crazy Rick.
Okay.
The constant possibility, well, let's just say, wasn't it Winston Churchill that said nothing in politics happens by accident? It's all planned? So let me ask you, with those fertilizer recommendations coming from Texas A&M, is that not what they claim Timothy McVeigh used up in Oklahoma City for his bomb? And isn't nitrogen or urea tightly regulated agricultural product that everybody that purchases it, unless it's a cash purchase,
what he used apparently in the bomb was ammonium nitrate instead of urea. I think the 2400 would be a urea product. But, yeah, nitrogen, especially when it's really concentrated, can be a dangerous thing. What that bomb, I think, was made out of was a mixture of diesel and the ammonium nitrate.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you can mix diesel with just about anything and make it an extremely flammable product.
I don't think that A&M is pushing bombs, if that's what you mean.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's more of that regulatory stuff that, you know, we're trying to constantly be aware of. You know, the government's constantly coming up with new and better regulations, and Texas A&M is tightly regulated or tightly funded now by our GMO people and, you know, Monsanto. And, you know, the multitude of different things that they're saying stay away from organics. They're turning us into the enemy because of the push for these chemical weapons on our landscape and nature. Anything that they do to manipulate nature has got unintended consequences, you know, that we, you know, we're unaware of. What killed the Mayans? We don't know.
Well, I think that there is definitely a move in the wrong direction right now as far as recommending organic kind of things at the university level, at least here in this state. And it's not just A&M. I mean, I went to Tech, and they're not really any better about pushing the natural organic techniques there. And somebody told me about one of my competitors on the radio has just written a column, and I was just pulling it up and reading it, really knocking the natural way and the kind of techniques and all that we use. I'll pull that up, maybe read a little portion of it here before I leave, and if not, I'll get into it next week. But there does seem to be a move, Rick, to be more critical and more negative about what we talk about, and I think it's a good news scenario. I think what is happening is that the public is finally getting into what we've been talking about enough. And sales are starting to move enough in some situations, and some farmers and ranchers getting into it to where it's scaring them a little bit, and they're trying to throw a little cold water on the idea that the natural organic way is a good way to go.
Well, we do have things that work, and they work a whole lot better than the chemicals. And in fact, the chemicals, all they're trying to do is mimic what we're doing already.
You're right. Thanks for calling, Rick.
Talk to you later, man.
Thanks, man. It's Bob in Dallas next up. Hello, Bob.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, this first-time caller.
Well, thanks.
I purchased a tract of land. I'm also an architect, so this particular tract is something I've wanted for my own homestead.
Well, good for you.
This is a 33-acre. I mean, I purchased something 33 years ago. It's an acre of land. It's a cross timber property in an urban setting. It has an assortment of black walnuts, post oaks, and other trees. We just finished a tree survey last year, GPS, and identified trees and their age and their health. And we haven't done any soil testing yet. But we've done a light scarification of the property to get rid of all the privet. Now, this property's never been touched in 33 years, and so I've not allowed anything to go on with it. And so now we're doing a kind of a light scarification, and we're starting to work our way in there to work. And so the next big thing for me in my mind is what to do with the soils, what to do for the health of the trees, and that whole forest. So as we kind of work our way in this into this process. So that's sort of where we're at. Thought I'd get your thoughts and recommendations on what to do next with the soils and any other thoughts you might have.
Well, great. It's an acre of land. It's pretty well treed, the whole acre right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty dense. In fact, we took out everything that was 6 inches caliper and below. And the city of Dallas, you know, wants you to save everything 8 inches and above. That's the ordinance. So we've gone, and we also saved any smaller calipers, what we thought were specimen trees. So we've got a really nice clean slate. We've got a variety of trees.
Okay. You say you did a light scarification. What did you use? How did you do that?
They just cut it and ground it up and mulched it.
Oh, you went through and cut out all the small trees, ground them up, left them right there in place. You didn't really do anything to the soil or the root systems of the trees or anything.
No. Didn't want
okay,
to do
it. Okay, good. You're doing good, Bob. The only thing I would say just for your next life, it would have been better to call me before you cut out all those small trees. And the reason for that, and you haven't, you know, done anything that's going to be a big problem or anything, but a lot of times when people just go into a site and take out all the understory and take out all the small trees, they take out some things that could be pretty valuable. For example, there could have been some little quarter inch or half inch rusty blackhaw viburnums or red buds or some other tree that I would have recommended that you keep that went away because it wasn't big enough. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But now that you've done it, what you can do is just kind of keep an eye on things that pop up. And when you see some of these more beneficial things, I would put in that category rusty blackhaw viburnum and Carolina buckthorn and red buds and various kinds of things. The invasive species that you've gotten rid of, that's a good thing. You know, the Japanese ligustrums and the privets and the Chinese pistachio has become an invasive plant, believe it or not. Keep an eye on those. And cedar, if you have some cedar, I think that's good. I have cedar on my place. I use allow cedar to grow in certain places, and if it gets too overgrown, becomes a problem, you know, you take it out, and it's pretty easy to get rid of. You cut it down at ground grade, and it's gone. It won't come back from the stump, the eastern red cedar at least.
So, how difficult is it to – we have about 4 to 5 black walnuts, one that ranges from probably a 6 to 8 inch caliper, and then we have one that's just a really mature, old one. And, in fact, good. It's in its declining years.
Mm-hmm.
But we have about 4 or 5 on our track, and there's another track next to me that has probably the same number. How difficult is it to reestablish or get those black walnuts to start coming in there? Plus, we also have a few post oaks.
Well, you've got sandy soil then to a degree. Where in Dallas roughly is this?
This is in Oak Cliff.
It's in Oak Cliff. Wow, and you got post oaks growing there. Do you have any white rock showing, or does the soil?
Oh yeah. In fact, this is there's about 50 to 60 foot elevation change through here, and
beautiful.
And they're hugging the areas where they're where the rock would be, where the water form comes through. So that's where the black walnuts are, and that's where the post oaks are.
It may be the old location of the Trinity River or some tributary of it that moved around and left sandy soil. So you've
this
got
is a high, this is a high tributary.
Okay. Well, to answer your question, black walnuts are fussy.
Yep.
They're fussy like a post oak is, maybe even a little bit more. They like good deep soil. They're going to do much better there than in the shallow soils on the white rock. The best thing that you can do is, like I was talking to a previous caller, use at least a version of the sick tree treatment in the area of the root system of the walnuts, and you can probably keep them as healthy by doing that as they can be kept. I like them too. I think it's a good tree. You'll tend to see them. I live in the Lakewood area, and we've got a few walnuts scattered through there and a lot of big trees growing in the Lakewood area. But you don't see any real big, extremely healthy walnuts. They all are, I'd put them in the C+ to C- category. You know, when they get some size on them, they stay there, but they never develop a great big, full, beautiful head on them like some of the other elms and oaks and things like that do. But to keep the tree as long as possible, and the main benefit would be the fruit from it, the nuts, and then if it ever does die, you got some extremely valuable wood. Those are the two big things about walnut.
Well, we got some spinners that want some of the things that have fallen off this granddaddy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, it's great. Great wood. Yeah.
Well, you say gather the nuts. Now, if let's say I do that, how would I cure that, or what would I do to
grow some more from seed?
Sure.
Well, my book, Texas Trees, I would recommend that you read. I cover it in more detail in there. You've got a seed with walnut that's hard as concrete or harder.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. So a scarification of some kind is in order. I would probably soak the nuts in Garrett juice or a mixture like Garrett juice, but at least having the apple cider vinegar in it. I would soak them for about 8 hours, and I would give them some freeze. I'd give them some cold treatment as well. I'd plant them in soil, organic potting soil, and just be patient, and they'll actually germinate and come on. You don't need to crack them open or anything like that. Just soak them in the Garrett juice and put them in some soil after giving them some cold hours as well, and they'll germinate for you fairly well.
Wow. So it's the book, Texas Trees.
Texas right? Trees. It's a black book. It's got dogwood on the cover. It's not. It's a little bit hard to find. Sometimes you can get it mail order for sure. I cover the propagation of trees in more detail in that book than I do in other books. You can also get basically the same information if you go to dirtdoctor.com and go into the library and just look up walnuts there.
Great. And post oaks too, probably.
Yeah, same thing. We cover the propagation on all the plants. I've been working on a new tree book that's going to take the whole tree study to the next level, but I don't have it out on the market yet. That's the best I got for you right now.
Well, I had an arborist come out, and when we did the tree survey, and I was really sensitive about this.
Bob, if you've got some more, can you hold on a minute?
Sure.
Hang on. I'll be back with you in a second. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Register today for Howard Garrett's Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. Howard is teaming up with other experts to present growing edible gardens, mosquito control that works, natural pet health, natural remedies for weeds, head lice, foot fungus, and insect bites, nutrition and health, and much more. There will be prize drawings throughout the event, so register today by going to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar logo or call 866-444-3478. Register at dirtdoctor.com today and have a more successful 2013.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The
best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
And we were talking to Bob, and I hope he's still there. Bob, you still with us?
I still am.
It was a good topic. I want to not rush it at the end. You had started another question for me.
Along the same lines, and a question that someone else had earlier, I missed your recommendation on soils testing, where to send things, and then also my last question is, should I even consider rotating any of this soil in and amongst these the lower beds of these trees?
No, on changing the soil around. They've been doing fine, you know, with it that way, and so that would just be a waste of time at best, and it might even do some damage to the trees because you're going to be messing around in their root system. Now, when you start building your house, you're going to disturb some roots. There's no question about it. Oh, and on the soil testing, before I get into that too long, the testing lab I recommend is Texas Plant and Soil Lab, and they're down in Edinburgh, Texas. There's a, if you go to dirtdoctor.com, there's a little banner ad on the right, or you can look him up in the library there. But it's Texas Plant and Soil Lab in Edinburgh, Texas.
Got it.
And they do everything totally different. They do, their extraction of the soil is done with carbon dioxide instead of, acids, harsh acids, and their recommendations are organic and the whole deal. But when you get to the point, and I know how hard it is to design your own property. You know, as an architect, I had the same problem designing the landscape, and I'm still doing it and still changing things at my place. But the most important tip I could give you, once you get to the point of breaking ground to build something there, is to design the landscaping at least to a concept and establish an envelope. That is the envelope that will be used for the staging and the construction of the building and build, or whatever you're going to build there, and literally fence it off. Establish an envelope that's going to be big enough to use and build the house, and then put temporary chain link fencing up. And, you know, don't try to do what I've been involved in the past, put up the, you know, some flimsy little thing that the contractors run over, because they will. You need to put up a physical fence, and then inside that envelope that you've created, you'll want to put a really, really thick layer of shredded tree trimmings that the contracting will have to work on top of building the house. And if there's any chance that they get outside the fence, if there's any possibility of that at all around the edges or anything, you put the mulch there as well. And if they have to drive and store equipment and everything on top of this thick layer of mulch through that process, when you finish and pull it all off, you not only will not have hurt the soil, you will have improved it during the construction process, and the trees will survive far, far better than if you don't do it.
I agree with all of that. In fact, to the point where we've already built a topo at 1 foot equals 1 inch,
okay.
1/8 inch equals a foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got we've GPS and located on that model the exact location of all the trees.
Good.
And then each of the trees are dialed and have a number and a color, so we know what they are. So as we start the planning process, we're taking pegs in and out to see. We're really looking at the inventory to see where we maximize. And I agree with everything you said. That's great advice for anyone working on a house. I think that's what we're going to do anyway, but that's great advice.
Well, good luck with your project, and please keep me posted on it. I'll be curious to see what you're up to.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Bob. I found this article that how much time we have? I don't have enough time to get into this. I'll tease it for next time. The fella that is on another radio station and writes from a different standpoint, he has no problem with synthetic fertilizers and pest control products. I call him Neil the Squeal, or Neil the Spiel. You can use either one. He has written a rather rough little comment about people who recommend the natural organic approach, and it's in some column, I guess, that he writes regularly for whatever paper it is that prints that kind of stuff. We'll talk about it next week. I'll just leave you hanging on that one, and we'll talk about positive things more than that. But it'd probably be good. There are some people asking me that didn't hold on, that brought it up today, asking if there was a feud between the two of us. And no more than normal, no more than the last 25 years or whatever. But anyway, I've enjoyed being with you today. I hope everybody has a great Christmas. Hope you get to enjoy your friends and family, and take a little time out when the weather's great to do a little gardening as well. If you haven't done your final shopping, some gardening gifts would be a really good thing to do. A membership to the Organic Club of America, I will selfishly tell you that I would recommend to anybody out there. And once again, the newsletter that we do is free for anybody. We've got a lot of people that enjoy it and have fun with it, and we'd love to have you on board with it. All you do to get it, it's just digital, is send us your email address. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com, and that'll put you on the list. What day it comes out is who knows. It just depends on when we get around to it. And we may even skip a week here with all the goings-on, and all of us are scattered so much right now. I don't know for sure on that, but we'll be back on board for you right away. Again, thanks for being with us. The website, again, is dirtdoctor.com, and all the information about upcoming events is right there on the homepage. Look over there on the left-hand side. Click on the information about the seminar. Enjoy your gardens. Enjoy this holiday season, and don't forget to feed the birds.